All right, we're going to be in chapter 8 of Revelation this morning as we continue our study of the Great Tribulation. Chapter 8 of Revelation. Now, we have witnessed by God's Word the opening of 6 of 7 seals. Remember, we were about to get into the 7th seal, where we find that there is silence in the heavens in anticipation of the opening of this last seal of the 7-sealed book. Remember, the opener of the 7-sealed book is Christ himself, for there was found in heaven no man that could open this book, but the Lamb stepped forward, the Lamb of God who gave himself for the sins of men. But the seals on this book kept truth from men until God was ready to reveal to John of things to come. You know, God's timing is perfect. We know what he wants us to know. We don't know what he does not want us to know. And there are seals on things that he does not want us to know, but eventually those seals will be opened, as we see in God's Word. Now, with the opening of the 6 seals, in previous lessons, we have seen the 4 horses and the horsemen of the apocalypse. That apocalypse means the revealing of truth, the unveiling of something that was not, that was hidden. And so we've seen the 4 horses and the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse. We've seen the martyred souls under the altar crying for vengeance. God told them to rest for a season until the rest of the martyrs would join them. And then we also saw in the last of the seals, the 6 seals, God's wrath poured out. It is in the form of earthquakes, the darkening of both the sun and the moon, with a cascading to earth of the stars of heaven. All of the openings of the first 6 seals took place in chapter 6 within 17 verses. Now, I make that remark because the 7th seal takes up several chapters. Chapter 7 told of God's evangelical work, which was a parenthetical chapter between the 6th seal and the 7th seal, but it told of God's evangelical work throughout the world during the 7-year period of the tribulation, for even during this tribulation age, God will have a witness. You know, it reminds me of that passage in the Old Testament. I think it was Elijah, or was it Elisha? But he thought he stood alone in Israel, and God said, no, I have 7,000 that are faithful. You know, God always has his witness. The light never goes out, even during the tribulation, and God will have a witness. And he describes that witness in chapter 7, where his evangelical work throughout the world is given. Now, chapter 8 begins with the opening of the 7th and final seal, and the description of what is to come as a result of this opening, and this revelation takes place all the way through chapter 11. So we have 17 verses in chapter 6, which describe the first 6 seals, and then we have these chapters, complete chapters, describing the opening of the 7th seal. Now, it is filled with great detail, which sets it apart from the first 6 seal openings, which it seems in part were brief summaries of what is greatly detailed by the opening of the 7th seal. You cannot place these seals in a chronological order. There's overlaps and there's summaries of things to come. It'll all come out someday. We'll all say, oh, that's what it meant. I mean, you can go online and find commentaries on the book of Revelation, and I'm not getting deep in my study of this because there's so many possibilities. But I'm just giving you a kind of an overall brief explanation of what is taking place here. But the seventh seal opening is filled with subsections. You read the book of Revelation, and unless you have a pencil and a paper and you start jotting down and getting an outline of something, you get lost. But the seventh seal is filled with subsections which are announced by seven trumpets. And then within that, the fifth and the sixth and the seventh trumpets describing one of three woes each. So you have the seven seals. Then in the seventh seal, you have seven trumpets, and then within the trumpets, the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpets are described as woes, W-O-E. Not the woe of a horse, although I suppose you could say, you better stop. But this is a woe that describes great, great, great grief and misery. Now, we learned in chapter 7 that the four angels who stood on the four corners of the earth, you know, it's funny, that's a funny way of describing things, the four corners of the earth, seeing that we have a globe, an orb, as it were. But the Bible says they stood on the four corners of the earth, and they were told to not hurt the earth. In other words, they were at the ready to hurt the earth, but they were told not to hurt the earth, the sea, nor any tree until, now there's an until here, in other words, there's a hurt coming upon the earth. And they were told to hold off that hurt until God sealed 144,000 Jewish evangelists in their foreheads. God somehow makes a mark, an identifying mark upon these evangelists who are going around the world to evangelize, to proclaim an identifying mark. It's a mark, a sealing mark of protection. Don't touch me. I have God's protection around me. Now, this sealing was done in order for them to perform the mission of God, which is to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom to all nations, kindreds, and tongues. Now remember, we have two gospels. We have the gospel of the grace of God, which you and I, if you're saved, responded to. The grace of God, all come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Talks about the crucifixion of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. Christ is the Savior. We cling to Him as the Savior. Whosoever shall believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. We're in the age of grace. These are preachers of the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus is coming. The King is coming. The kingdom will be set up. This is the message that will be proclaimed during this time. It's basically a warning. Get right with God because the King is coming, and that King is Jesus Christ upon whom we believe. Now, God, having accomplished this sealing task, releases the angels to hurt the earth, and therefore we move into chapter 8 for the opening of the seventh seal, where we are given to see the vast expanse of the hurting of the earth. Now, this is righteous. We don't say, oh, God is wicked here. No, we say God is righteous. God's wrath is righteous. But the command to hurt not the earth is taken off. The angels are told, you now have freedom to hurt the earth. And we move into the seventh seal of the book of Revelation in chapter 8. Now, as I said, the seventh seal is divided into seven subsections, each introduced by a trumpet blast. Now, you see some of the old movies that took place in Roman times. And the emperor was coming out on the to the podium or wherever he was going to speak, and you hear the trumpets blast. And I don't know, perhaps if he made a good point, the trumpets would blast. But here we see the seventh seal divided into seven subsections, each introduced by a trumpet blast. Now, what does that tell you? That tells you to pay attention. Something ominous is going to happen. God ordained. We are not given seven seals and then seven trumpets, for the seven trumpets are within the seventh seal and are used to announce a great event which is revealed by the opening of the seventh seal. Now, Revelation 8, 1 and 2 begins this passage. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. I haven't been in silence for the space of half an hour my whole life. Have you? We're surrounded by calamity and noise. But can you imagine that God commands silence in heaven for the space of half an hour? And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So now we see the scene in heaven. There's seven angels standing. Each one has a trumpet. And that trumpet will be proclaimed and blasted throughout this seventh seal to describe what is to take place on the earth. Now, God has been silent since the completion of the New Testament almost 2,000 years ago. The Mormons don't believe that. They have an announcement from God in the Book of Mormon that came later. And they say, well, God has not been silent for 2,000 years. We have this book. But we believe that he's been silent since the completion of the New Testament. He has spoken all he needs to speak. Do you ever read the Bible and say, I think God left out something here. I wish he would have told me about this and that. No, I've never done that. I found completeness in the scriptures. But from this silence, we can conclude that God has given us all we need to know. You know, if God was apt to the slip of the tongue, like we've seen in our debates, can you imagine the chaos and confusion of this universe? God has no slips of the tongue. And when he speaks, it's always true. And most times he doesn't speak. You know, the Bible says about that, doesn't it? Slow to speak. Quick to hear, slow to speak. Slow to wrath. Boy, that applies to God, doesn't it? Oh, I'm so glad that he's slow to wrath. But from this silence, we can conclude that God has given us all we need to know. And here, with the opening of the seventh seal, a heaven in silence is revealed. No silence here. Got the motor going. Somebody coughed. But in heaven, it was silent. When it says silent, everything shut off. All the choruses of the angels ceased. No one coughed. Silent. So God commands all of heaven to keep silence for the space of about 1/2 hour. Have you tried that with your children? Wow, that's the hardest thing. Can you do it for 5 minutes? You know, I've seen children standing in the corner. I used to have to stand in the corner when I was a boy. Naughty boy. Now they don't say naughty boy because that hurts my self-esteem. But in those days, we were naughty. You stand in that corner. And that corner was the most looked at part of the classroom. I mean, you'd examine all the cracks and you'd see the joints in the brick and maybe you'd see someone's nose print. And you'd have to stand there quietly. Oh, it was so hard. But God commands all of heaven to keep silence. All those under the altar, they were saying, how long, oh? Their mouths were shut. Now great events are about to take place, and each will be announced by the blast of a trumpet. But before the first trumpet of the seventh seal is sounded, God is given a sweet smelling savor of the prayers of the saints. Oh, this is such a sweet passage in Scripture. Remember the martyred saints under the altar which were revealed by the opening of the fifth seal, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Remember that passage. It was a longing for vengeance. It was a prayer to God. The prayers of the martyred saints have now been brought to God, and God is about to answer their prayers. You know, it's as if these prayers were bottled up. Catch that prayer. Some angel in heaven is designated as the prayer catcher. And he takes these prayers and he bottles them up for a specific time. For it's interesting to see in this passage how the prayers of the saints have been collected and kept until this time and are now presented to God with incense, and to our God it is a sweet-smelling savor. You know, what volume do your prayers have in heaven? If this is the case, does he collect your prayers in heaven? Well, it appears to, because we see in Revelation 8, 3 through 6, and another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense. Remember, we know about incense in the tabernacle. That he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints. You see how it indicates that there is a collection of the prayers of the saints mixed with incense and presented to God. They ascended up before God out of the angel's hand, and the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. So God announces his answer to the martyred saints under the altar by his angel casting to the earth the very censer which assisted the prayers of the saints to come to God. So you see here that God told the martyred saints to rest until the number came in of the martyred saints that were still left on the earth. Those prayers were collected, mixed with incense into the very nostrils of God, a sweet-smelling savor, and God commanded the vengeance to be carried out. The prayer was being answered. And verse 6, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now the first trumpet, now remember where we are. We're in the seventh seal, the first trumpet. This is the first subsection of the seventh seal. In verse 7, the first angel sounded. Now that means he blasted the trumpet. Oh, it was a blast. And there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Now remember what's taking place here. The wrath of God. You know, we live in the time when we concentrate on the love of God. God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. But you know, there's a time of God's wrath, and that's where we are in the scriptures. Oh, God's wrath is righteous. And in this announcement by the first angel, there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. The third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. So we see here the hindrance not to hurt the earth has been lifted, for the sounding of the first trumpet of the seventh seal, and in that sounding, much of the earth is devastated. You know, just listening to this and reading this, you don't want to be there. Do you have to be there? No, you don't have to be there. Remember how we taught about the rapture of the church. If you're not in the church, the refuge of God during this age of grace, you get in the church by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're put in his body. When you're in his body, you're protected, are you not? So you're taken out in the rapture, and then all hell breaks loose on earth, including what we've just read. We can avoid this. You can avoid this by trusting Christ as your Savior. Now, at this trumpet, great continents where millions of people live will be devastated by hail and fire mingled with blood. Now, not only does Revelation tell us of this, but the prophet Joel tells us of this in Joel 2, 30 through 31. This is no surprise, where he says, "And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come." You know, it's an amazing thing how modern science preaches kind of a static universe. But that comes when you don't believe that a God made and created all things. You know, God has given us somewhat of a static earth where things happen on a seasonal basis, where you can count on the rains, you can count on the winds. Now, there are some anomalies that remind us of his power. But God can choose to cause wonders in the heavens. He made the heavens. He can cast this part of the heavens to the earth and uplift this part of the earth and put this part down, for he made all things. Now, God gave us a taste of his power in ancient times in Sodom and Egypt. If you're a believer, if you have faith, you believe what the Bible says. And if you go back into the book of Genesis and Exodus, you'll see how God's power was displayed. God rained hail and fire on mankind because of their grievous sins. You know, think about the sins of Sodom. Oh, that's just Sodom. That's just little Sodom. Well, now the whole earth is Sodom. The whole earth is becoming Sodom. Do you think God is going to treat us differently than he treated that little place of Sodom? But God rained hail and fire on mankind because of their grievous sins and stubborn refusal to acknowledge his authority. Oh, how that word is despised today. Authority. But you know, God's in charge. All of you and myself will have to answer to our Creator. So the same thing has happened in Sodom and Egypt on a much wider scale will happen at the first trumpet. We are also told that one-third of the world's forests and all the green grass will be burnt up. Oh yeah, we don't have to mow anymore. Well, what grass is he talking about? The wheat and the rice and the barley? You know, most of your foods that you eat are from grass. Oh, I have an occasional piece of meat, but a good part of what you eat is grass or from grass. So we are given here a view of famine in vast parts of the earth, for we know that grass in the forms of wheat, rice, and barley is the greatest of food products this world produces. Look at those folks over there in India, rice in the morning, rice in the afternoon, and rice in the evening, all from grass. So this first trumpet ushers in the terrible time of trouble announced by the archangel in Daniel 12. You can go back there and look in Daniel 12 and see the announcement by Michael of this trumpet. So it's going to be a time of international turmoil and terror unparalleled in the history of humanity. You know, we've suffered through hurricanes and we've said, oh, these are terrible. How terrible they are. But look how local they are in the scheme of things. Now, we can tend to some local disasters, but how can you tend to something like this? The second angel, verse 8 and 9. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Notice that prominence of the third. You know, I've seen on television about an island, I think it's off the coast of Africa, where there's a great fault in the mountain, and it's set to fall into the ocean. It's a half of the mountain is set to fall into the ocean. And scientists have predicted that if that takes place, a wall of water will hit our shores that is 100 feet high or more, just from that slippage of that mountain into the ocean. Now, the first trumpet of the seventh seal hurt the land. The second trumpet will hurt the sea. So great changes will occur on the earth because of this great mountain, which will cause a third part of the sea to be deadened. Now, I don't know whether this is the Mediterranean Sea, or not. It could be. Like I said before, much of the action described in the book takes place in the Middle East. So this could be in the Mediterranean Sea. I don't know. Is this burning mountain a great mountain that erupts and casts itself into the sea? Now that could be. There have been islands, volcanic islands, composed of mountains that have disappeared into the sea. But most of the commerce of the earth at some times travels the sea. Look at the label on your dresses, ladies, and you can be sure that that dress probably sailed the seas in times past. Came from Malaysia or China. But most of the commerce of the earth travels the sea. We know the sea is alive with life, and the sea supports the life of man. And we're told here in this passage that one third of the creatures of the sea will die. And in this portion of the sea that is affected by this great object, a third part of the ships carrying commerce and people will be destroyed. So there's a multitude of ramifications to this event. For worldwide weather conditions will be affected. You know, there have been Krakatoa, was that the volcano that spewed its dust and it spread over the whole world. The whole world was covered with the dust. The atmosphere was filled with the dust of that one volcano, shut off and dimmed the light of the sun for many days. So this can affect the fresh water, the rainwater. It can affect the movement of oil from the oil-producing nations. It affects the oceans, which affect the weather, even to the point of affecting the air that we breathe. So this act of God, and I'll stop here, announced by the second trumpet of the seventh seal, will disrupt the world, will disrupt the weather, will disrupt the agricultural output, will disrupt the economy and the physical welfare of all those upon the earth. And then we'll go into next week, Lord willing. If he doesn't come, if he comes, there will be no Sunday school next week, Pastor. Not even for those that are left behind, unless they want to. But Lord willing, next week we'll go into the third trumpet blast, where we see a great star falling from heaven. Here we see perhaps a meteor that enters the atmosphere of the earth. Father, we are thankful. We're so thankful that there is an escape. Lord, the Bible says that we are not appointed unto wrath. In other words, if we are in Christ, Christ is not appointed unto wrath. He is the appointer. And if we're in Christ, we're not appointed unto wrath, and we have an escape through him. Lord, we don't want to be here during this time. We don't want our loved ones to be here. We don't want anyone to be here, but we know that they will be because they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. But help all of us, Father, to seriously consider our own state and to grab hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us now, Father, as we go into our service. May he be lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen.